Hi, everyone. Thanks for joining us on the Kirk Church Podcast. I'm Aaron Elmore, lead pastor at Kirk at the Hills, located in Tulsa, Oklahoma. This is where you can hear messages from all our pastors and guest speakers. Make sure to subscribe and share with anyone who follows the Kirk. If you want to know more about us, visit us at thekirk.com, like us on Facebook, or follow us on Instagram at The Kirk Church. Let's get started with today's episode.
Two 150 years. Wow. Let's give the Lord a clap offering. What a blessing. What a blessing to be in this country, to be living in this moment, and celebrating this momentous occasion. All over the world, people covet that blue passport. None of us here ever wrote an application letter to God to say, I want to be born in America. I want to become an American. It is by God's grace that you were born here at such a time as this. It's not an accident, but God had planned it. People are dying, trying to cross rivers, trying to cross deserts. People are dying trying to get visas in foreign embassies to come here. Why? It's because God has blessed this country. So don't take it for granted. For you and me to be in this country at such a time, it is God's blessings. And we need to be grateful and thankful as we reflect upon the many blessings that the Lord has given this country. I would like to say a short prayer before I speak. Father, I just want to thank you for our nation. Thank you for the many blessings. We pray for peace, unity, and love. We pray against political rhetoric that divides us. We pray against the spirit of division. We pray, Father, that you open our eyes, that we see that we are indeed one nation under God. And that you established this nation, O Lord, for it to be a blessing amongst the nations, O Lord. Thank you, Father, for the many strides that have been taken. We still have a long way to go, but we are thankful, O God, for the things that have happened in our nation. And for the many blessings, O God. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty, matchless name. Amen. Now for our message this morning. We are talking about persistence in prayer. And I love watching apocalyptic movies. Movies about the end of the world. I've seen lots of them. I've seen Will Smith as the microbiologist in the great movie I Am Legend. The earth has been ravaged. I've seen movies whereby something attacks planet Earth, and you are supposed to remain silent. Once you open your mouth, you are taken care of. Hollywood has come out with a lot of creative movies about end times. And recently, we saw a script unfolding before us when a virus attacked the planet Earth. And all the stadiums went quiet. All the theaters became empty. Just because of a little virus. And we Presbyterians and all the Reformed theology followers, we believe in the 5 points of Calvin. And one of his major points was total depravity. And what this point simply means is that when sin came on earth, everything changed. It ravaged earth so much that anyone who was born after sin had come was infected by that virus. If we were to become zombies, then everybody who was born after sin had come was a zombie. Why? It's because it was within our system. That's what total depravity talks about. That anyone born after Adam was messed up, was hopeless. Why? Because of sin. Now, as a backdrop to our message today, as we are praying, I want us to keep it at the back of our mind that we are praying in a system or a culture or an earth that had been infected by the bug sin. And we shall see what are the consequences of praying in such an environment as we look it through the lens of David in the book of Psalms. Any good military tactician will know that one of the easiest ways to conquer your enemy is to disrupt their communication systems. So when sin came on earth, one of the casualties was communication with God. It went zero. Every evening, God used to come and speak to his friend Adam, communicate with him, fellowship with him. But we see after sin had hit, after the plague had hit, after the virus had hit, which is sin, God is calling out to Adam and says, "Adam, Adam, where are you?" Where was Adam? Adam was hiding. Hiding in fear. And is in all, like in all these Hollywood movies, once planet Earth is hit, people go into hiding. And in some of them, they scramble a little radio system and they say, "Hello, hello, hello, hello. Is there anyone out there? Can anyone hear us? Is there anyone out there?" And for dramatic effect, Hollywood keeps silent. There is no response in the initial stages. But you know that towards the end of the movie, there shall be a response. So we see mankind in this position whereby communication with God has been cut. I don't know with you. Maybe it's natural for you to pray. For me, prayer doesn't come naturally. I have to work at it. And we shall see some of the things that makes it difficult and how we can become persistent in our prayers. But unlike the movies whereby the people take the initiative to look for someone out there, in the Bible, it is our God who takes the initiative. He comes down and he asks, Adam, where are you? God comes to seek after you. He comes to seek after me. It is his will for him to talk to you and talk to me. That is his desire. Somebody say amen. Amen. Instead of starting from verse 1, I'm going to do the opposite. I'm going to start from verse 12 of this scripture. And he says in verse 12, this is David, "For troubles without number surround me. My sins have overtaken me. I cannot see. They are more than the hairs of my head, and my heart fails within me." In short, David is saying, I am messed up. Help me, Lord. So that's why here it says, come mercy. Sin has completely overtaken him. That he has been blinded. One of the things I like about the Psalms is the openness, the vulnerability of David as he talks to the Lord. He is not trying to cover it up. He understands that he is a sinner. He is not trying to be righteous. And in verse 11, same Psalms, he says, "Do not withhold your mercy from me, O Lord. May your love and your truth always protect me. I'm messed up. I'm a sinner. But help me, Lord." He understood that his sins separated him and God. He understood that because of sin, communication was disrupted between him and God. David did not try to clean himself up in this prayer before he came before the Lord. He came as a child, weary, running nose. And that's what the Bible says, that we should be like children before him. And I'm envisioning in my mind a child that's been playing outside, dusty and dirty, scraping knees, coming to his mom or her mom, crying and saying, "Help me, I need help, I am helpless." I like what Paul E. Miller says in his book, A Praying Life. He says, David took off any spiritual mask or a pretense. He took it off and he says, "Here I am. I need help." Are you weary? Are you burdened? Are you heavy laden with things in your life? I have good news for you this morning. You are a candidate for persistent prayer. Because he declares and says, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I shall give you" what? Please shout it out. I shall give you what?
Rest.
Thank you. In his messed up state, David says in verse 1, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. Unfortunately, we live in a time whereby we need instant results, and we need them yesterday. David had to wait, and he had to wait patiently. He had to exercise patience. Waiting is not easy. For an old man like me, I don't know if I'm old, I don't qualify yet, but when I go to the movies, automatically they give me the senior citizen prize. So I guess that says a lot. When I go to the doctors with one of the many issues that I have, and if I say many, I'm being honest, I've got a list of them. One of the most frustrating times is when I want to know the results. And frantically, I go to my chart. The sad thing is when it finally appears on my chart, I cannot understand the medical jargon that's written there. So sometimes I try to Google to find out exactly what that means. And then when I think what I think it is, it adds more troubles until I finally go to the doctor's office and he explains to me that this is not an issue at all. This is not what it meant. And then my heart goes, whew. Why am I saying that? It's because we want to know. We want to hear the results. We want to know the outcome. But David says here, I prayed and waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. We don't know what time lapse was there between verse 1 and verse 2 and 5. And we see another example of persistence in prayer in the book of Samuel. I'll just narrate this briefly. Elkanah had two wives, Hannah and Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, and she was bearing children as much as my cucumber in my garden bears cucumbers. No offense meant with that. And Hannah was barren. But Elkanah, the husband, loved Hannah more than he loved Peninnah. And Peninnah started to provoke Hannah because Hannah couldn't bear children. And this is from the book of 1 Samuel, from verse 12 to 15. That's where I'm quoting this story from. And she started provoking her, saying things, so much that Hannah was heavy burdened. And she was crying. And for years, the Bible says, she would go into the temple and pray. And verse 12, as she kept praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, how long are you going to stay drunk? Put away your wine. Not so, my Lord, Hannah replied. I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I've been praying here out of my great anguish and grief. She was praying out of her great anguish and grief for years. So much that whenever she was praying, words could not come out of her mouth. So much that the priest thought she was drunk And she said, no, I'm not drunk. It's because of the burden within my heart. Month after month, year after year, I come to the temple to pray. And the Lord had Hannah, and she gave birth to Samuel, a man who changed the destiny of Israel. God is faithful. After David had prayed, the Lord heard him, and the Lord delivered him according to the Lord's timing. Our faith grows as we wait patiently. Romans 4, verses 20 and 21. This scripture is talking of Abraham. He did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. Whenever Abraham prayed in his heart, he was fully persuaded that God was able, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of what people say, regardless of what the report was. And in verse 2, David says, he lifted me out of the slimy pit and out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. We do not have much information about this pit that David is talking about. But whatever it was bad stuff. It was messy stuff because he lived in a messy world and he had committed messy things in his life. Verse 3, after he had been lifted out of the mud, he put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. When we come to God in prayer, and when God answers our prayers, that strengthens our faith. That strengthens our resolve in God. And then we can jump to verse 5 with David after we have seen what God can do. Then we can look at the wonders of what God has done, the things you planned for us. And we can say, none can compare with you. If we were to speak of all your deeds, there would be too many to declare. It strengthens our faith. When David was facing Goliath, this huge giant, I think in David's mind, he was recalling, he was remembering how he had faced the bear. He was remembering how God had given him victory over the lion. The victories you have had in your life as a family, when you look back, going back as a student, how God has watched over you, the many health problems that you have faced, the financial problems that you have overcome to be where you are, they should be pillars that help you to believe God. I remember a season in my life whereby I would receive a phone call from my wife, not once, but many times, saying, PSO has turned off the lights. Not once. We were new in this country, struggling, had no help, but had to turn to the Lord. I remember a season in my life whereby if I was driving across town, I had to say a prayer that, Lord, help this car to get from point A to point B. It was that season, and the Lord helped us. I remember a season in my life, Oklahoma heat, Oklahoma summer, driving a car without AC, scrolling down the windows. And if it were possible, I would have taken off my shirt, but I couldn't. And God saw us through. I remember a season in my life in 2015, being told that we need to open you up. We are not giving you much time to make a decision because we want to operate on you. Your valve has failed and it is in bad shape, your heart valve. I remember turning to the Lord and praying as they were wheeling me to the theater at St. Francis. 10 years later, 2025, I hear the same story. We need to replace your valve again. This time I wasn't praying a prayer asking for healing. I was singing a song, "It is well with my soul." Why was I in a position now to sing "It is well in my soul" when they are going taking me to the theater to open me up and hook me to a machine for a few hours? It's because in my heart and in my mind, I was remembering what the Lord had done before, the battles that the Lord had taken us as a family before. I remember a season in my life in Harare, Zimbabwe, when we had our second child and the baby was not thriving. We would take him from doctor to doctor and not get a diagnosis. And would turn to the Lord. And he is now a strong 32-year-old young man in Dallas. Abraham was persuaded that God was able. David was persuaded in his prayers that God would deliver him. And he saw the many wonders. Verse 6, sacrifice and offering you did not desire. I'm running out of time fast here. But my ears you have opened, burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not require. Then I said, here I am, I have come. It is written about me in the scroll. I desire to do your will, my God. Your law is written within my heart. This is the center or the main point of the psalm. I call this prophetic insight because David is talking about someone who was to come many years ahead. The anticipation of Christ. David could see that help was on the way. He did not live to witness, but saw it from afar. And we see Hebrews 10, verses 5 to 7, quoting this very psalm. The earth that had been devastated by sin, the earth that had been ravaged by the virus, there is now good news. The apocalyptic damage was about to be undone. Because a savior, a king, a man who was going to sacrifice himself for sin once and for all, was coming to set everything right. He was coming to undo what the first Adam had done. Romans 2, or 2 Corinthians 5:18, it says, he would reconcile mankind to God. When Adam sinned, He ran away from God's presence. But when this second Adam came, he restored man to God's presence. He broke the veil of the temple and he said, the door is open. You can come before the throne room of God and pray persistently and God will hear your prayers. Instead of people huddled around a radio saying, is there anyone out there? We see the King of Kings standing at the door and saying, behold, I'm standing at the door and knocking. He comes to you. He comes to me. He wants to talk to you. He wants to come inside of you. He initiated contact. And he says, so I say to you, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be opened. That's what persistence in prayer is about. We keep knocking. We keep seeking. And eventually, the door will be opened. Praying is not easy. Quick 3 points why it's not easy. Because there is resistance. For we do not fight against flesh and blood. That's another story. But there is resistance when you pray. Two, the flesh does not want to pray. The flesh opposes the spirit. That's why the flesh, it wants fun all the time. It doesn't want to pray. Three, we have no idea how much God wants to fellowship and talk with us. Three quick takeaways before I pray. We persist in prayer because God is trustworthy. He is constant. David uses words like, he is my rock, he is my shield, he is my shelter, he is my refuge, he is unmovable, he is unchangeable. We persist in prayer because God is our present help in the times of need. And we also persist in prayer because God listens. When we are praying, we are not praying to a vacuum, but we are praying to a God who hears and answers prayers. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness and for your mercies. We thank you because you invite us to seek you in prayer. It is your desire to talk to us and answer our prayers. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.